the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. This is the word of the Lord.
It is so easy to read and think about other churches, but it's more difficult to think about ourselves. Tonight I would like to ask a question, a rhetorical question, of course. What you will do if, as members of All Saints Church, you'll get a letter from Jesus addressing you as a congregation about some of the issues you face in the current times? What will be your and my response? The letter to the Church of Laodicea makes us to think about. I will not go into the theological concepts and talk about what kind of period we are living in. But I would like to point to this church, think about us. Being born in a totalitarian regime, I learned that the church never may be neutral towards what is going on in society. By some means, church even is influencing the society or is influenced by society. That was the reality. There were seven churches from Minor Asia. On the one side, there are a few churches which exercise a great influence on society. Those were churches in Ephesus, Smyrna, and Philadelphia. Their success over ancient society led them through times of trial and hardships. All three of them continuing to influence positively the society they were living in. But on the other side, we see churches in Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, and now Laodicea. All of these four churches made some different compromises, accepting to be influenced by different means, ending in a pitiful situation, and each one of those four churches did get strong condemnation from the Lord who loved those churches. Now, to the church in Laodicea, the one who is the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation, sends an urgent message which contains a very critical message to the church, pointing to the compromising elements of the church in Laodicea and pointing to that situation. In front of you, you see a picture of Laodicea. From a very prosperous city, today we can see only some ruins. They are still nice ruins, but not anything else. From a city with about 200,000 people, right now there are only ruins and nothing left. The church, which humanly thinking looked well, but from the point of view of the resurrected Christ, the church in Laodicea was almost dead. Or Jesus said, "You are dead." The Laodicean church had no problems had no similar problems as a church in Smyrna, When the members of the church were robbed of their goods they had, even they lost all their possessions, becoming very poor, the resurrected Christ, addressing the church in Smyrna, say, I know your afflictions and your poverty, yet you are rich. It's a big contrast between those two churches. One church is poor, the members are robbed by the society, and you know, learning from the past, the church in Smyrna went through some pogroms. When the society were invaded, the pagan society invading the house of believers and robbing everything they had. But even in that situation, the Lord say, I know your affliction and your poverty, yet you are rich. But the church in Laodicea had gold to do trade. They had clothes made of wool, and also they had medicine, which provided a good health. But having all those material things, on spiritual level, they were pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. What a shame! And we ask a question. What made Laodicea so rich as a city? The city of Laodicea was located on the banks of the Lycus River at the junction of several branches of trade road from Ephesus to the inland of Roman Asia, just a few miles away from the city of Hierapolis with the famous curing thermal waters. Just from this place, you can see, in a way, Hierapolis. Ooh. What left, I will, to understand better the situation and the message Jesus sends to this church, we need to orient ourselves better in the context that church existing. The church in Laodicea had a theater, and according to the archaeology, knowing how many seats were in a theater, you can value how many people were living there. In the ancient world, one-fourth of the society was able to go and sit in those theaters. For that, this theater is about 20,000 seats. That means that in Laodicea, in the first century, there was about 200 people who were living there. Also, as I mentioned, in Laodicea was the church. And this is the sign of the church. That sign means Jesus is God. That was the sign everywhere made where the churches were existing. And just next, a few miles from Laodicea, was a famous city, and it is known as an underground city because this is a famous city of dead people, Hierapolis. There are some nice graves, tombs, and here, next picture is here is the gate in the city of Hierapolis. But then in that city, there was thermal water flowing. And when Jesus pointed to the church in Laodicea, the Greek word means that they were something similar with this thermal water. And I think most of us know that it's almost impossible to keep the thermal water in your mouth. It will not bring a good taste to you. For that, we see here very important things. Jesus made a condemnation to this church. The message of resurrected Christ towards the church in Laodicea was very critical. Here are some of the critical characteristics of Laodicean church. I know your deeds, say the Lord, that you are not cold, not hot. I wish you were either one or the other. You say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. In other words, the admonishing goes like this. Listen, the church in Laodicea, listen. Gold, black wool, and Phrygian powder, that was the medicine for the eye, do not elevate you in God's eyes. You may think that you are all right, but you are not, say the resurrected Lord. The church, first of all, had a false self-evaluation. The Laodicean look at themselves with admiration. But in the eyes of the true witness, they were wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Jesus said to them, you like warm, or you taste like thermal water. Water in Hierapolis. And they knew what is that about. The word in Greek is hilaros. The Lord admonishes the Laodicean church because they make this lukewarm style of life. Their style of life was like lukewarmness. When the lukewarmness become a way of life, the complexity blurs, the dulls, the color that it become almost impossible to recognize differences when they occur. Someone said several things. What like warmness mean in spiritual matters? Lack warmness is low grade paranoia. Just the beginning of strong paranoia. Like warmness is low-grade cynicism. You can become very cynic. That leads to losing your face. Being lack warmness, that means you are in danger to lose your face. You know, living under the Soviets, I had some friends when their parents used to play face. They were coming to church. But in the same time, they were coping with the communist regime. And I remember once when one of my friend, my age, he's supposed to be in the military service. I talked today about that. But his father paid money and he escaped the Soviet Union army. And he was a believer, was a member of a church, was one of my relatives. But during that period of time, 2 years, he get drunk once, riding the bike, hit the car, and was killed. And I remember my wife was remembering the words of his father, her uncle, who was saying, son, I was able to protect you from everything, but dear, I was not able to protect you from death. When you make some compromises, the end is death. For that, Jesus admonishes a lukewarmness church. Wake up, repent. Also, in the thirdly, lukewarmness is low-grade immorality. The result is always fatigue and finally despair. In an attempt to shook them out of their apathy and pride, resurrected Christ warns them, saying, "So therefore, because you are in this inspitted state, I will spew you out of my mouth." Verse 16. "Or because you are taste like thermal water, I can't keep you in my mouth." Christ detests Laodicean compromise, who wants to accomplish things with any price they could pay. And for that, Jesus was very rash on this church. Why the Laodiceans so lukewarm? The deepened problem of Laodicean church is not simply their indifference. Indifference is just a starting point. But then comes ignorance. Their problem was ignorance of their real situation, and they don't care about the lost world. You say, "I am rich. I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing." Verse 17. Their boasting seems to be related to the industrious of Laodicea, or in other words, society influenced them so deeply, as I mentioned at the beginning. We cannot be neutral. We are even influencing the society, or we are influenced by the society. Christ sees them as they truly are, the wretched and pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Of course, the word blindness here is used by Christ is not, it points to the spiritual blindness. He is referring to the inability of Laodicean to see the spiritual poverty they were living in. Likewise, Christ uses the analogy of clothing with which they are familiar and declares that they are spiritually naked. After making an evaluation of the church, resurrected Christ brings to them a solution. Even he speaks very rashly to them, but his grace, his love is in this message. He said, "I punish those whom I love." For that, here we see the second point, that repentance is the only solution to escape being spit out of the Savior's mouth. The resurrected Christ pleads the Laodicean church to repent, because the repentance is the only solution to escape being spitted out from Savior's mouth. The only solution in such cases is a genuine repentance. And that is not possible without spiritual medicine and recipe. For that, Jesus gives them the antidotes of their thing they trusted in. Or the thing they trusted in. First of all, Jesus said to them, "Buy from me gold refined by fire, that you may be rich indeed." Verse 18. Gold, which was the source of the city's wealth, is to be bought from Christ to overcome spiritual poverty. By the gold, Christ means here good works. Of course, some of us will say, we are not saved by good works. Do we? No, we are saved by grace. But you know, the good works are telling that we are saved. When we meet Jesus, Jesus transforms our lives. You know, in the ministry among Muslims in Central Asia, when the Soviet Union collapsed, a large number of society run into the criminal world. People who are champions in sports, people who used to fight in Afghanistan as officers, as brave soldiers, they lost their meaning in life and they went into the criminal world. But when they came to know Christ, and we met them, I met them after that. That was my luck. I met them after they met Christ. And I was teaching them as students. And at that moment, I saw that their life was totally transformed. You know, one of them who used to steal from 8 years age, when once in a situation, some policeman charged him for and telling him, you steal something, and said, you offended me so deeply. You know, how can a thief be offended? The thief can be offended only if he went through transformation. For that, Jesus say, the good works are the sign that you are saved. And you need to live in that. According to Ephesians 2, 8 to 10, the good works are the result of your salvation. Christ is saying to Laodicean church, do not be self-sufficient. Do good works. Help needy. Take care of the poor. Take the good news to unsaved and be active in your mission to the world. The gold Christ talks about here are the good works, which are the assessment of the spiritual richness. Stop being ignorant, say the resurrected Lord. Stop being ignorant to others, and your life will become meaningful. When you start to live for others, Jesus said to Laodicean church, you will get to the meaning of life. Because everything around us is created to give, not to receive. We are living in an environment which is sharing with us everything. Oxygen, water, fruits, vegetables, everything. And we find the meaning in our life when we sacrifice ourselves, where we are responding in the same way. The other part of Christ's recipe is, buy from me clothes to cover your shameful nakedness. Laodicean were very proud people. They were looking well. But that was nothing more than a false image. We are living in an era where self-image is so important. Starting with the late 70s from the last century, we talk more and more about self and less about others. We became the center of the world, and we want to use all the resources, all people, and live for ourselves. This is the Laodicea, was the Laodicean problem. They were living for themselves. But that was nothing more than a false image. They knew how to impress others. But in front of God, their image worth nothing. In front of Christ, they were nothing more than naked, shameful Laodiceans. For that, as part of the cure, they should buy clothes to cover their shameful nakedness. As a solution for that, Christ tells Laodicean that shameful nakedness is not to be clothed by purchasing the sleek black wood clothes of Laodicea, but buy from Christ the white clothing that alone can cover shameful nakedness. You know, as I mentioned in the interview, I grew up in a Christian family. And always in my mind, the color of sin was black. I don't know. What is the color of English sin? You know? In my understanding, my sin, all of them were black. None of them was white. All of them were black. And Jesus say here, if you want to cover your shameful nakedness, buy from me white clothes. The third part of the recipe Jesus gave to them, buy from me salve for blindness. For those who are spiritually blind, to their true condition, the Phrygian powder is useless. Phrygian powder was the medicine they used to. And that was produced also in Laodicea. The so-called Phrygian powder was another source of city wealth. People from all over Roman Empire were coming to Laodicea to buy medicine to cure blindness. The spiritually blind people needed to buy salve from Christ so that they can truly see. Verse 18. So far, there was three medicines. All point to the Laodiceans that the Laodiceans need an authentic repentance and turning towards salvation in Christ. The third very important point here, even the church was looking so dark, but there is hope, grace, and the love of Christ is present there. Christ promises for those who will go through repentance, there is a great promise. The promise to an apostate church is an intimate fellowship with Christ and eternal reign together with him. An intimate fellowship with resurrected Christ is the best offer to an apostate church as Laodicea. In spite of the apostasy, Christ loves church in Laodicea. It is hard to comprehend the love and grace of the Lord toward people from Laodicean church, as well towards us. In 92, I took a group of people to Siberia, North Pole, more than Siberia, North Pole, in Yakutia. And there I met a former criminal. When I was preaching, he stopped me from my preaching, asking questions. You can imagine? We were having an evangelistic outreach and evangelistic meeting in a hospital. We sing songs, we say poems, but when I started to preach, he raised his voice and said, "Hey, sir, where is God? About whom you are talking here? Who is God? What is Christianity?" And he was asking question after question. "What you will do?" I stopped to preach. I went to him. Everybody started to laugh. Said, "Oh, these young preachers were defeated." But I approached him and started to talk to him, and he was continuing to ask questions. And at one point said, "Why God allows us to kill other people?" I said, "Stop! Nikolai was his name. Stop! Let me explain to you. You are just asking questions, but never looking for an answer. If you have questions, you have to stop and wait for an answer." And I started to discuss with him, and in a while, after 1 hour, he says to me, "You know, I'm in trouble if there is God, because I killed 4 people in my life. And now I spent years in prison. I ruined my health there. Now, if there is God, I'm in trouble. I said, "Nikolai, together with Christ, there were two thieves crucified. And one saw at Jesus as a thief, But the others saw him as God and Savior. Nikolai, if you will turn to him, he will forgive your sins. I gave him the New Testament, and I came back in 1 week. In 1 week, we just get into the bus to ride to that place. All people surrounded me and said, what you did to Nikolai? I said, well, nothing. I didn't touch him. But Nikolai was like a beast before you came into the hospital. And you see, when I reached the hospital with the team, all the medical staff and all the patients were waiting for me to share the good news with them. Why? Because they saw a transformed life. When God addresses the church in Laodicea, even the church was in a difficult condition, he gave him a second chance. In spite of the apostasy, Christ loves the church in Laodicea. And as I mentioned, it's hard to comprehend his love, but we need just to accept it. Many people say, I cannot upset the love. I did so many bad things. Oh, that means you are very proud. We deserve nothing. For that, we need to accept just the grace of God. Obvious, pointing to some of the worst characteristics people identified with, the Laodiceans heard the message that they are loved. Those whom I love, Jesus say, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Even so, the church in Laodicea gained a status of an apostate church. The resurrected Christ has a message of encouragement, a message of hope, which brings salvation. Finally, the resurrected Lord tells Laodiceans that for those who will repent and become victorious, the resurrected Christ gives them a wonderful promise: intimate fellowship with him. Even though the church was in a deplorable situation, Christ still stands at the door of the hearts of each individual seeking admission. As one's repentance Christ asked for in the verse 19 will be implemented, the apostasy state will be replaced by the victorious one. Because salvation is not based on us. Salvation is based on Christ who died for our sins on the cross. Then Christ gives them a great promise. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him and eat with him and he with me. A shared meal in that ancient world had much more significance than it has today. It was a symbol of affection, of confidence, and of intimacy. You know, the Muslim world is very close to the New Testament traditions. I remember once I was in Uzbekistan. There was good days when they allowed me to go. Right now they don't. And I spent 6 hours at one meal. At that moment, when we shared that meal, you know, during that meal I understood what kind of meal Jesus talks here about. Because at that meal was going the teaching from the Lord, from the masters to his disciples. We started the meal, and two people joined us, and they started to ask questions. Then in a while, two more came, because they were afraid to come all together for the security reasons. And I spent 6 hours laying on the floor. And then I understood that the meal in the ancient world had more significance than it has today. Jesus said, "Who will hear my voice and open the door? I will have a meal with him. The message from Christ was to repent and give up a Laodicean style of life. And this will lead them to victory. The victorious one will inherit the promise Christ makes. To the one who is victorious, he says, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne. Just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. In this verse, we have more than a promise. We have the example of the resurrected Christ, who is full of empathy towards Laodiceans, as well towards us. This morning, who attended the service, he heard Brother Adam talking about when we are in the race, Christ is with us. He is not judging us from a side, telling, oh, you are not doing well. But Christ is next to us. And the same word is here. He is running together with us. He is going together with us through trails and hardships. That really means that he will be standing close to them when they are facing trials. You know, working in Central Asia with churches who are going through hard persecution, I'm hearing carefully their prayers, and I never heard a person from a persecuted church to pray to God to stop persecution. We pray for them that God will take off persecution from them, but they don't pray like this. They say, give us strength when we are persecuted. Give us strength and help us to prevail when we are persecuted. That really encourages them. Christ is together with them when they are in trials. Therefore, even the Laodicean church gained an apostate status and did not deserve anything else than punishment. Christ is there to help them to make things right. My dear brothers and sisters, and friends, after we did listen to the message of Christ addressed to Laodicean church, and we may look deeper in our lives, what Christ will tell to us now, what he is telling to us now, are we like Laodicean church? Or we are prevailing in all the things he suggests to them? Christ brings the same message to us he sent through John to the Laodicean church. The word of God is eternal. The word of God addressed the Laodicean church is addressing us as well. Christ is standing at the door of our hearts, knocking. But what is you see in that picture made by Holman Hunt, which is called The Light of the World, you find it in the St. Paul Cathedrals in London, you see that there is no knob on the door from Christ's side. The only way it can be opened is when we respond and open the door and yielding to him as our Savior and Lord. Let's open our doors. Let's open the doors of our hearts and let him come in and make our lives full of meaning, preparing ourselves to sit one day with him on the throne. This is the best promises we can have from our Lord. You know, we start with Ephesian church from Ephesus. And we see a lot of good things there. And we end with Laodicea, a church which is not doing well. But to this church, God makes a great promise. May our hearts will be softened by the word of God. Come to Him, accept Him, and you will find a meaning of your life. And He will bless you from now and forever. Thank you.